We would physically, but do we spiritually? So the next 8 weeks, starting next Sunday, I think are going to be vital for us as individuals, as well as vital for us as a church. Now today, I wanted to kind of give an introduction to that. And to help us start to clue in to those vital signs. And the very, very first thing, the very first question is this question. And that is, can I really know God? It might sound like a basic question, but I don't know how we often think about that. We maybe think of being a Christian or doing religious things or going to church or exercising some kind of religious habits. But do we know God? Know Him. Not know about Him. Not have some kind of vague notion. Not being able to say His name or not even being able to recite scriptures by memory. But is there an actual, real, vital, intimate relationship with God? Is it even possible? I want to tell you this morning, not only is it possible, it's God's greatest desire for us, and it is truly our only aim in this life. Really. The one aim God has for us, and the one thing that will act as the all-encompassing umbrella over everything else we do is knowing Him. This world is going to pass away. Some of us are excited about that, some of us not so much. It's not eternal, this world. And what is left after that is eternity with our Creator. And right now is the opportunity, by faith, to know Him. I want to challenge us this morning as we prep to understand our vital signs. Do I really? Ask yourself that question right now. Just take a minute and think. Do I really know God? Now, I understand none of us can really know Him in His entirety. He's too big. He's too vast. He's too magnificent. But as much as we, in our ability, do we know Him? Do we know His voice? Do we know His leading? Do we trust His guidance? Do we understand His ways? Do we feel His presence? Do we know God? For some, God is a mere inference. That he's a deduction. He's, well, yeah, I believe in God. And it stops right there. And there's a lot of people. Statistics say that over 65% of the people in the United States are Christians. I don't know about you. I doubt that stat very much. When it comes to actually knowing God. I think we'd have a much different nation if 65% of our people knew God. What that really means is, do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. I know God. And it's just a mere inference. It's a title that they think they know. To others, God is an ideal, like goodness or beauty or love. And it's just kind of this ethereal, mystical type of thing that they feel. And there's a godness about those things. To others, God is a religious thing attached to some Bible verses or maybe even Sunday morning worship songs. And therefore, yes, we know God because we know those songs. We know God because we have those verses tucked away in our minds. And yeah, I know God. I've been going to church since I was a kid. How many know that going to church, knowing songs, knowing verses doesn't necessarily mean you know God? True? It's true. The Christians want to take it a little bit further and bring it into more of a theoretical, and we encourage each other to have a personal relationship with God. But I wonder how many of us ever really delve deep into the understanding and seek with earnestness, as the Bible says, to really, truly know this God. That we talk to Him and He talks to us. One of the questions I get so often from people in our church is, well, I how do you know when God talks to you? How do you know God's will? How do you know when He's leading you? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? And the scripture says we can know because we know Him. I guarantee you, when my wife wants to talk to me, I know. When she wants to talk to me in certain ways, I know. Because I've been with her for now some 35 years. I know her. I know her ways. I know her looks. I know her tones. I know her gestures. I know her. I know her. I don't have to guess. Folks, you can know God that way. Really? Really? I'm not kidding with you. You can know Him in that way. He wants us to know Him in that way. But to be honest, I found myself in the tension as well of wanting to know Him deeper, wanting to know Him more, but sometimes closer, sometimes further, sometimes nearer, sometimes not so close. This morning I want to give you four principles that I hope will move you closer to this understanding, and that by the end of the day, my hope is that I will have set us on a journey. I've nudged us further down into all of us saying, I can know God. And I want to start every day. When I wake up, when I go to sleep, when I go to work, when I go to school, when I'm with my family, when I'm with my friends, when I'm alone, that I realize that God is here and that He's knowable. And I want to know Him. The four principles are these: that God is a real person, that God is here, that God is known by faith, and that God is known by those who seek Him. And these four principles are based on the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, when it says this: and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Can we say that again together? Hebrews 11, 6. Let's read it together. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's a power-packed verse, isn't it? Our four principles come from this verse. Number one, God is a real person. God's a real person. He's not a mist. He's not a idea. He's not a nice thought. He's not a force. He's a real person. Here's what Brother Andrew or Brother Lawrence said in his brilliant book, The Practice of the Presence of God. It says, we must know before we can love. In order to know God, we must often think of Him. And when we come to love Him, we shall then also think of Him often. For our heart will be with our treasure. That's real person language, isn't it? When I think of someone being my treasure, my wife, my children, my family, my friends, that's realness. That's real person talk. When I think of Him often, because I love Him, you think of the people you love often, don't you? You do throughout your day, because they're real. They're real people. God is a real person. He's not some idea out there somewhere. We know real when we feel it. The wind on our face, or the, you know, cool water on our feet when we walk along the beach, or the rough textures or the softness of a pet as you cuddle that puppy or that kitten. We know what real feels like, but for some reason we somehow miss the reality of feeling God. He's very, very, very real, and He's a real person. Say, Pastor, how do you know He's a real person? Well, Scripture says that God made us in His image. That sometimes we kind of look at this backwards, but God made us in His image. How we are, that's how God is. I love to laugh. How did I get that? Does anybody not love to laugh? Everybody loves to laugh. I mean, we want to have a good time. Where did that come from? From God. Because He's a real person. He made us in His image. God loves to laugh. I can't wait to get to heaven and just laugh all the time. But why wait till heaven? Why can't we be in His presence now and just think that, man, when He's here and when He's in our presence, that God looks down on us and He's just laughing. Not laughing because He's laughing at us, but He just says, I just love them. And He laughs. I love music. What kind of music is there going to be when we get in God's presence? We're made in His image. And the outpouring of that is this beautiful thing called music. God made that. God loves to give. God loves to love. God loves kindness. God loves goodness. God loves joy. All those things that we enjoy and that we aspire to and that we want, we didn't create those. God made us in His image. Psalm says a little lower than the angels. Unfortunately, sin, when it came into the world, messed it all up. And so when we say we're made in God's image, we're not anywhere close to the perfection of God's image. But it can be restored. You see, when you become a Christian, the Bible says that we now are restored, and this journey of a Christian is becoming now Christ-like. We're restoring this journey. We're in our journey to restore the image of God in which we were originally created in. And when we see Him face to face one day and we're perfected, we don't get somehow limited to being some like neutral angelic figures that we're all just kind of cookie cutter people up there. No, you will become the perfect you that God created you to be. There will be as much uniqueness, as much difference, as much just specialness, as much color, as much, I believe, even culture. Why would God give us culture, then get to heaven and take it all away when it's so wonderful? It's so beautiful. It's so inviting. The newness is so enjoyable and the differences are so enjoyable. And when we see Jesus face to face, it's to perfect that image that He already created us in. If we ever doubt that God is a person, we're really not paying attention to who we are together. Because when I look at you, I think, you're real. You're a real person. God made you in His image, and I'm so glad. We're made that way in God's perfect, beautiful image. God is not like us, but rather we are like Him. We get confused sometimes, and we think God is like us, and it can get negative. It really can. I can be short-tempered. God is not short-tempered. But because I am, sometimes I think He is. Because I would react in a certain way toward a situation, and I assume then that God would react a certain way in that situation. You understand? That we project our attitudes and our image onto God. When God is trying to project His image onto us, He's trying to move us and change us. When I get impatient, I then sometimes, when I've gone too far, think God is impatient with me. Sometimes I can get demanding. I sometimes think God is demanding. Well, that's just because I'm projecting my image onto Him. We're on a journey to be less, when I say us, I don't mean in our design, I mean in our sin. The Bible says, Galatians chapter 2:20, that we have been crucified with Christ. That sinful us, that us that is not God's image, but the distortion of God's image. We work every day to crucify that. That's why the Bible says, take up your cross daily, die to self. We die daily to that self that is not the image of God, and we are awakened each day to the real image that God created us in. That's the beauty of this journey with Christ. We can know God with at least the same level of immediacy that we know any other person. It's true. We can know God with at least the same level of immediacy that we know every other person. If I can just talk to you, I can just talk to God. If I expect you to respond to me, I can expect God to respond to me. If I ask you a question, I would expect an answer. If I ask God questions, I can expect answers. If I want to acknowledge His presence and I'm just with Him and I sense His presence, I can do that just like I'm when I'm with you. Church, we've got to get to this place where we realize God is a person. Say, Pastor, it's hard. I don't see Him. We'll get to that point, I think, about number 3 this morning. He's a real person. He's with you and He wants you. The Bible says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's real talk. He's there. Taste. Find out what He's like. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. Do you know His voice? You can. He has a voice. What does that sound like in your heart, in your mind? You can know Him because He's a real person. The next step, if some of you are just right here right now, you're saying, Pastor, that's all I need. That's as far as I can go. Okay, for you. Your next step is just to simply acknowledge, I believe that God is real and that I can know Him. Some of you didn't know that before this morning. But today, that might be for you. Okay, I think I got it. I can know God. Can we just say that together? I can know God. Do you really believe that? You can. And He wants it. Principle number two, God is here. God is here. I love this scripture writing by A.W. Tozer in The Pursuit of God. I'm going through it right now with the staff. But I love this. It says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Quoting Genesis 28:16, Jacob speaking. Jacob had never for one small division of a moment been for a moment outside the circle of all that pervading presence. But he knew it not. That was his trouble, and it is ours. Men do not know that God is here. What a difference it would make if they knew. I love that. What difference would it make in your life if you knew God is here? And I don't mean here. He is here. How many felt Him in the worship time this morning as we sang those songs? I did. About halfway through, man, I just had to fight back some tears. I just felt His presence. Wherever your here is, God is there. Taste and see that the Lord is good. When? Now. Always. Because He's here, right? My sheep know My voice. When? Now. Always. And so many other scriptures. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. When will they see God? Now. Because He's here. It's right now. Maybe even right now you're already hearing His voice, because as I'm speaking, God is starting to just go ping, 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 ping inside your heart. And you're going, "Where'd that come from? Wow, I felt that one. Wow, I thought about that one. Oh, that's God." You may not have recognized Him. You just may have thought it was an emotional twinge or some kind of mental spark. But that's God. He's with you. He's speaking to you. God wants to be seen. He isn't avoiding us. How many think that God loves to play hide and go seek? He just loves to hide. Oh, I'm going to just make Him want. I'm going to ditch behind this tree or behind that car or under this bush. And I'm just not going to show myself to Him because I really want Him to want me. And if they don't, tough. It's not like that. God is standing right out in the open. Romans chapter 1 even says it this way. I'm everywhere. See Me in the creation. Now, it's not some kind of pantheistic idea. God is not the creation, but the evidence of Him, His presence is seen through all that He has made. See Me. Know Me. He's here now in this place and everywhere you will ever go. God is there. But are we like Jacob and says, "He was here, but I didn't know. I didn't recognize Him. I didn't see Him." We know the omnis, right? God is omniscient. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And what's the third one? Omnipresent. Omnipresent. What does omnipresent mean? It means everywhere present. So if that's the truth, then can God not be with you ever? Not a trick question. He can't. By very definition, God can't not be with you. Because He's omnipresent. Wherever you are, He's there. Wherever you have been, He's been there. You can have 10 million people standing in different places at immeasurable distances, wherever in the galaxy, all of them being able to accurately and truthfully say, "I'm in the presence of God." We've got guys walking the Camino in Portugal right now. God is there. One of our ladies is in Sri Lanka right now. God is there. That's the beauty of traveling around and being in other churches. We can be on that other side of the planet and go, "Whoa, He's here too." He's with you. God is a real person and He's there. Let me ask you, do you sometimes feel like you're alone? And for the life of you, you just can't feel His presence. God wants to fix that. So that truthfully, with absolute accuracy, without any falseness, you can say, "I am never alone. Because God is with me." Beautiful Psalm 23, right? Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear evil because you're with me. Life gets hard sometimes, but you don't go alone. Ever. He's with you. Now, his presence is not an issue of location. It's an issue of relationship. Sometimes we'll sing songs. Oh, Holy Spirit, come down. Or an old song that I've always really liked, Draw Me Close to You. It's like from the 80s. And it, draw me close to you, never let me go. And it's this song like, oh God, you know, come from somewhere else and come be with me. It's really not accurate. Because God is not somewhere else away from you, that when you call on him, there's a little bit of a lag time. Because after all, he has to travel to get to you. He's got to find the bus or the metro or the plane or something, even, you know, put on his cape and zip over there. That there's going to be a little lag because he was somewhere else and really, really busy with some really important things. And he really didn't know that you were going through what you're going through. So when you call, he's going to answer. You might have to go through his secretary first, but he'll find you eventually. He's here already. He's never, ever not been with you. God is as close as your understanding of him being there. But a lot of us are like Jacob. He was here all the time and I didn't know it. He's present. He's real and he's here. Wherever your here is, that's where God is. That's the beauty of being in his presence. It's not a locational thing. It's a relational thing. Now, you understand that, right? When you talk about a relationship and you'll maybe say, well, we used to be really close, but now we're kind of distant. That makes sense. We get that. And if we confuse the words, we might think, well, what do you mean? You mean you used to live in the same house and now you live in another state? No, I don't mean that at all. I mean, relationally, we used to be very close in the heart, intimately, and now we don't talk so much anymore. Now we don't share together anymore. That's what we mean. That's the same with God. But we confuse the relational thing with the locational thing. God is with you. And he's as close as your heart will want to be with him. Have I realized that if I'm not close to God, that it wasn't God that has moved? Can God move out of your presence? Based on our definition. Help me out here. He can't. Isn't that comforting to know? God can't leave you if he wants to. You can annoy the daylights out of him. Now, you can't annoy God. He's loving. But, okay. You can drive God crazy. He can't leave you if he wanted. He's omnipresent. What a problem for God. Oh, these people. I wish I could get away from them, but this dang omnipresence. Can't escape him. He can if he wanted to. He's God. He's with you. Praise God. He doesn't want to be away from us. He loves us. And even in our most ridiculous, he's crazy about us. He's a good, good father. It's who he is. It's who he is. It's who he is. And I am loved by him. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's who I am. Amen? He's with us. He's with us now. I don't know why this doesn't sink into us, but if this presence of God is true, why is it not the most celebrated fact in the world? Why is it not? God is here. Can we tune in just a minute? Maybe just close our eyes. God, you're here. The creator of the universe, the God of the burning bush, the God of the parted sea, the God of the glowing altar in the temple, the God made flesh, the God of the cross, the God of the infilling Holy Spirit, is here right now. God, we worship you. We worship you. How can we not live a life of worship when we recognize you are here? Church, I wonder how different our days would be if that's how we lived every moment. How would our work change if in the presence of God it became an understanding of His presence and worship? When we're in school, how it could change no matter where we are. You can open your eyes. Would that make a difference to us? How can it not? He's real. Psalm 139, David writes, "Where shall I go from your presence?" Let me read just a portion of that psalm. Powerful. David is feeling this. He's finally getting it, and he writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not even hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you." This week, if this nearness of God is really touching you right now, I want to challenge you to read Psalm 139 every day. Make that your practical pursuit this week. To realize every day, God is with me. I can't escape Him. Your next step may be, this week I will, start each day with the awareness of His presence. What I mean by that, when you wake up in the morning, let your first thought be, "Thank you, Lord, for being here." As you get yourself ready, "Lord, you're present." As you drive to work, especially as you drive to work, "God, you are here." While you're doing your daily, "God, you are here." Can we actually practice? Now, it takes practice, right? Because we often, it takes practice. You're going to have to figure out, put sticky notes all over your world. "God is here. God is here. God is here. God is here." Put it on your computer screen, on your television screen, on the books, on your steering wheel, on your refrigerator, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, because God certainly is all of those places. I would guess that maybe some of those places you don't want God to be there. He's there, whether we want Him there or not. And I will live each day with my mind focused on His presence. I will go to sleep thanking God for the day He gave me. What a beautiful way to start, to live, and to end our day is in His presence. Principle number three, God is known by faith. God is known by faith. J.I. Packer, in his book, Evangelism and the Sovereignty of God, says this: "A God whom we could understand exhaustively and whose revelation of Himself confronted us with no ministries whatsoever would be a God in man's image, and therefore an imaginary God, not the God of the Bible at all." What he's really saying is what I often say, is that I'm really okay with not understanding everything about God. Because if I could understand Him in my little small brain, He's not very big and He's not God at all. He's too small. And the Packer is saying the same thing. We really won't understand God fully. We can't. He's too big for us, too vast for us. We can't understand omnipresence and omniscience and omnipotence and all of that. But that's what makes me comforted. For some, it means, well, if I can't understand Him, then He just must not be real. I go, really? Is your God that small? He's so much bigger, and I'm comforted by that. He knows what I don't know. I like that part. He gets what I don't get. He's aware what I'm not aware of. He's in my future that I don't realize. He's bigger. He's better. He's smarter. He's wiser. He's more loving, more patient, more kind, more everything than me. And I don't get that. And that's great. How then do you follow him? By faith. And faith just simply says, I realize that God is all of those things and I trust him anyway. I don't understand it all. I don't get it all. Something's happened in my life and I go, didn't see that coming. I don't understand. God, I don't know your plan, but I trust you. I trust you no matter what. What is this help that God gives us called faith? Well, the spiritual world is under faith. Faith understands the spiritual world. The spiritual world is as real, maybe even more real than the physical world. I say more real, not that it's more, because this is very real that we're in, but in the sense that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, what was created from nothing. God didn't start with raw materials. He started with his mind and his word. And as he spoke the words from his mind, that which is appeared. So which is more real? Not really more in comparison, but the spiritual is here first, and it's who God is. We live in the physical, but the spiritual is no less real. And we just don't get that. We have limited ourselves to a physical place because that's what we can understand with our senses, our taste, our touch, our smell, our hearing, our sight. That we can get our head around. But things that are outside the boundaries of that messes us up. We have a hard time getting that. But God is there, and by faith, our eyes start to be opened to what that is. Why don't we have communion with God, that nearness to God? It's because of our chronic unbelief. We are habitually in trouble. And that is that we habitually don't realize God is there, that we don't realize God is a person, we don't realize that he's with us, we don't realize that he loves us, we don't realize he's guiding us, we don't hear his voice, because those things don't happen in the realm of our five senses. Faith says, there's something more. And it's beyond what I can see. It's beyond what I can touch. It's beyond what I can hear. Our habitual error is thinking that reality only exists in what we discern with our five senses. Now, it's a bad habit, but we can kind of get this in a way that we have faith in a lot of things that we don't think we have faith in. I have never seen, never smelled, never tasted, never heard, or, you know, with my hands and touched my brain. But I'm pretty sure I have one. I'm pretty sure. But I'm not really, you know, I know it's there. Thank you so much for not jumping in with the obvious open door to ridicule me. I appreciate your love this morning. We understand, right? We believe a lot of things that we haven't physically, sensually been involved with. But when it comes to God, somehow it's a different problem and it's a different struggle. You see, church, the Christian really must learn to live otherworldly. We have to learn that. That's a discipline. Where is God? He is spiritual and I don't see him. Although I see the evidence. I see the evidence of creation. I see the evidence in you. He's real, all right. Have you ever seen him? No. But I've seen you. I've seen his creation. I believe. As I believe, I heard his voice. Oh, he talks to me. Oh, he leads me. Oh, he directs me. Oh, his promises are true. Oh, when I obey him, God is real. You see, faith doesn't create anything. Faith just opens our eyes to what is already there. And he's already there. He's already present. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't see. I've never seen God. I'm certain he's real. I think I told you a couple weeks, I celebrated my 40th birthday with Jesus in August. In those 40 years, I've learned, I am certain he's real. I am sure of what I hope for. When I leave this world, I get to see him face to face. And that's as real as I'm standing here seeing your faces. It's true. That's all there. It's just true. And faith is that which energizes that. Faith puts that in motion. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. We have this very real transference from all I know and all I decide on and all I base my life on is what I can see. And God says, you're going to be in trouble. He says, instead, you start to base your life on not what you can see, but what you cannot see. You live by faith, not by sight. I can't see God. When he talks to me, I didn't see his face and I didn't see his mouth move. But I guarantee you, so many times I cannot count, God has spoken. And if I'm willing to listen, he will have a conversation with me all day. It's just that I sometimes choose not to because I'm busy or whatever lame excuse there might be. Your next step, if you're right here and the challenge of faith is with you, is this. I'm willing to take the step of faith and believe in God even though I don't see him. Let me ask this question in this room. How many of you have already acknowledged in your life that even though you have never seen God, you know he is real, and by faith, you are now living your life until you do see him face to face? How many have taken that step? All right. If you are a struggler in that concept this morning, about 90-something percent of the hands went up in here. Ask one of them how they did it. Ask one of them their experience. That's the greatest thing you could ever do. How did that happen for you? And then ask another of the 200 here this morning. And you'll know God is here. He's a person. He's with us, and you can know him by faith. And finally, God is known by those who will seek him. God is known by those who will seek him. I love this quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. While it is good that we seek to know the Holy One, it is probably not so good to presume that we ever complete the task. That's what sets us on our journey. He's called me to continually seek him. And it's not like a dog chasing his tail, like, oh, what's the use? I'm never going to know him anyway. Oh, no, because the revelation of him is new every morning. Every time he shows me something new, it's like a whole new celebration that goes off in your heart and your mind. Whoa, I didn't know that about God. Whoa, God, I didn't know that about me. Whoa, God, I didn't know that about us. Every time there's a new understanding, it's like this new party in your soul. So the seeking is not some useless, just, oh, I'm never going to know him anyway. It's just wonderful to have God little by little reveal himself. And I guarantee you, from August 23rd, 1976, when I met Christ, that till now, that there have been a whole lot of those moments, and I'm still searching, and I'm still going deeper, and I've not even scratched the surface of who God is. Because he's just that big, and he's that great. And I don't know about you, that makes me so excited. It's like Christmas morning, when, at least in our Christmas Eve, when in our house, we used to let the kids open one gift on Christmas Eve. And that just primed the pump for more excitement. Oh man, if that's how good that was, just think what Christmas morning is going to be like. Well, if God shows us this little bit now, just think what it's going to be like the next time. And the next time. And the next time. And think what it's going to be like when we see him face to face. Oh man, I just want more. That's our journey. Not to be discouraged. Not to be worn down with, oh, well, he's just too big. No, every little taste is so good. And the more you know, the more you want to know. This statement is not a statement of futility. It's a statement of encouragement. But my question is this. Why do some people seem to find God and others don't? Why do some people seem to be really close to God and others are not? Can I just tell you, it's not maybe so difficult that the difference between people who see God and those who don't is in the seeking. It's in the seeking. How come you got a present this morning and I didn't? Well, because I got up and went under the tree and got mine. You stayed in bed. Simple. I got up and opened the package. You decided to do your thing. And that's really the simple bare bones of it. Some people seek, some people don't. Some people want to know God. Some people are distracted by so many other things in life. Some people want to know Him. Some people want to know other things. Some people want God to help them in their other things, and so they put that first. Others just want to know God. Those that want to know God are the ones who find Him. Ask and you seek and you will knock and the door will be open. It's all simple. It's right in the Scripture. If you want Him, He is there to be found. If you want to talk to Him, He is there to talk to you. If you want to understand His mind, He is there to know His mind from the Scripture. He's knowable. He's not hiding from us. He's a person. He's here present with us now. You can know Him by faith. The one thing is, will we seek Him? Are you a seeker today? Is it a daily pursuit of yours that each day you get the awesome privilege of talking to God? The word we use is prayer, but it's talking to God. You get to hear His voice, whether that's through prayer or us through opening His word and reading those words and going, oh, God, You're talking to me right now. We get to do that. But so many of us blow it off. We've got so many other things to do. Knowing God does not come at the push of a button, but by a determined heart. Remember the first verse we read, Hebrews 11:6? But God rewards those who what? Who diligently seek Him. What does that word diligent mean? Give me some examples. What does diligent mean? Come on, talk to me. Earnest. Well, what does earnest mean? That's a good word. Don't give up. Earnest. When you're earnest, what do you mean? You're like, it's almost like a panic. Think about this. Think about when you lost your keys. Think about when you lost your cell phone. Man, I'm embarrassed to tell you. I lost my cell phone 3 weeks ago. I didn't actually lose it. I dropped it in the toilet. I'm not going to text in there anymore. It's just bad. It's all bad. I'm just telling you this so anybody else who can relate can say, oh, I love that guy. He's just as dumb as I am. But when that happened, I got earnest. I got really earnest. So earnest that my buddy I was with said, we got to go to the Verizon store right now. Because I just lost my phone. And I got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have it. And we went and spent 2 hours and boom, boom, boom. Now I got a great new phone. That's earnest. That's also convicting. God, I don't feel as close to You. Oh, I'll catch up later. God, I haven't heard Your voice in a while. Oh, tomorrow. When we, the things that are that matter to us, when we lose them, we get diligent. And God is found by those who are having that feelings of, God, I need You. God, I've got to know You. God, I've got to have You. God, I've got to hear from You. I'm diligent. I'm earnest. I'm going to seek. And that's the difference right there. Will we diligently seek Him? It's not a push. I love this quote by Tozer. Let me read it to you. Again, out of pursuit of God. Tozer writes, this kind of non-seeking, this is a cause for major problems in modern Christianity. Our push-button society desires the quick, ecstatic method of reaching spiritual goals. We read our chapter, say our prayers, and rush away, hoping to make up for our deep spiritual bankruptcy with another seminar or tape or thrilling story. The tragic results are shallow lives, hollow religious philosophies, the need for entertainment and titillation in our services that glorify men, salesmanship, hunger for fellowship with man rather than fellowship with God, programming, mistaking dynamic personality for the power of God. These are symptoms of an evil disease, a deep and serious malady of the soul. We have all contributed directly or indirectly Are we too blind to see? Too timid to speak out? Too self-satisfied to desire anything better than the average diet, which appears to be the normal Christian experience? We have accepted one another's notions, copied one another's lives, and made that the model of our own instead of the timeless Word of God. It will require a determined heart and more than a little courage to wrench ourselves loose from the grip of our times and return to biblical ways, but it can be done. I love that quote. Church, you can find God when you seek Him. He's a real person. He's here. You can know Him by faith if you'll seek. Can I really know God? The answer is yes. You can know God. Really. Really you can. God will not deny anyone who seeks Him diligently. There's no superstars. There's none. There are no people already predisposed to know God more. There are no favorites. Well, I'm going to show myself to them, but not to them. I'm going to make them work a little harder, but I'm going to be really easy on. No. Anyone who seeks finds. Anyone who calls, He'll answer. Anyone who knocks, the door will be opened. We just have to decide. Psalm 27:8 says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said, 'Oh Lord, your face will I seek.'" Can we read that together? I love that passage. Let's read it together. "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said, 'Oh Lord, your face will I seek.'" Can that be our goal this week as well? He has already said, "Seek my face." Will we respond and say, "Your face will I seek"? James says it this way, "Come near to God and He will come near to you." It's simple. It's not hard to understand. Our habits are so deeply ingrained, it's hard to do sometimes because we're just so arthritically paralyzed by our own sinful scar tissue. But He is as close as we want to come. He is as near as we're willing to draw. And He is as easily found as we're willing to seek. It's simple. Four quick steps. Not brain surgery. Not anything we've never heard before. Refocus every day. Every day, refocus. Start right there. And even if the other ones come later, let's just make that our start. I really do challenge you. Put your sticky notes all over. Let every home of Abundant Life people be full of these yellow little stickers. Really. Because your goal is to be aware of His presence. We have to refocus our mind. Lately, my focus has been, Lord, I want the first thought, the first words to be of You every morning. That little exercise has been a dramatic change in my life. Really. I try to open up the scripture before I open up the paper. There's been ups and downs. But try to refocus our thinking. To just simply talk to the Lord every day. I do believe in a regular quiet time, but also a continual conversation in His presence. Every day. He's here. He's with you. And when you already realize He's present, it's easier to talk to Him. Your Bible has to be open, church. Has to be every day. We've got scripture reading plans, or you can find a million of them all over the internet. Every day. How can you not talk to God and have Him talk to you? Every day. Let's all do it. What do you say? Every one of us. And watch the growth happen. And the fellowship with the church is where we learn our practicality. Do you know that we're really the incubator? Or rather, we're really the laboratory? Because when you read in your Bible, oh, the Bible says love one another. And you show up at church and you go, I don't want to love them. This gathering is the laboratory where you actually get to do it. Be patient with one another. Oh, heck no. That guy's annoying. This is where we get to practice. That's the beauty of the fellowship. To love each other, but this is where we rub. And it's beautiful. Next step, I understand that I must seek God and therefore realize that He is seeking me. I understand that I must talk to him in prayer, read and obey his word, fellowship and grow with his family and share with others. Those steps. This is like for those of you maybe that are down the road a little bit. But at each 1, 2, 3, 4 of these principles, just stop where you are. Just stop where you are and make that your particular goal this week on each of those 4 next steps. Maybe we can pray this prayer together. Father, I want to know you. I repent of my sinful preoccupation with visible things. You have been here all along, but I didn't know it. I have been blind to your presence. Open my eyes that I may see you in and around me. Help me to seek you moment by moment for your glory. Can we read that one more time? Some of you already were cluing in. Let's read it together. It's a good prayer. Father, I want to know you. I repent of my sinful preoccupation with visible things. You have been here all along, but I didn't know it. I've been blind to your presence. Open my eyes that I may see you in and around me. Help me to seek you moment by moment for your glory. Amen. I want us to pray that in. Have Pastor Sean come and begin to play on the guitar. I want us to pray that in. Let's take a few moments. Sometimes we really start to be able to measure our seeking muscles by our prayer time. When I get so easily distracted in prayer, I realize, oh man, I've got to strengthen that muscle. I'd like to like us to take some moments here this morning and pray this in. Church, God is real. God is here. Right now. Closer than even sitting next to you. So, well, there's not an empty chair next to me. How could he be there? Oh, he's there. He is even closer. You see him and feel him by faith this morning. And if you realize that, you can begin to seek him right now. I'd like us to do that. The posture doesn't matter. Some of you may want to turn around and kneel in your seat. That'd be okay. If you feel it's too crowded where you are, you want to get into an open space like a front row or a front steps, that's okay. If you want to stand, to me, I'm such a scattered thinker. I like to pace because it keeps me focused. Whatever posture you take in these next few minutes, feel free to take that posture. But let's right now recognize his presence. And in these few minutes, re-pray that prayer. Can we put that prayer back up, man, please? Re-pray that, pray that prayer and recognize his presence. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus.